coming up? What's going down? What's coming to our town? It's gonna be good. Hope it don't flood. Oh, it's what's upstream.
All right. Welcome to What's Upstream here at Clear Creek Radio, KYGT LPFM. I'm your co-host, Mark Cuccinelli, here with Lori Beckel, and our esteemed guest today is going to be George Marlin. We're going to take a deep dive with George into what's going on up at the county. But first, let me just take a few moments to say how pleased I am to be back and on the air with my good friend Lori and my good friend George as well. So, yeah.
Hey.
Welcome, guys.
Hey. Thanks for coming back, Mark.
Yeah,
we kind of wondered if you'd ever be back.
It wasn't easy getting on that plane, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, and good afternoon. Thanks for having me, everybody.
Yeah. Okay, Lori, you want to kick us off?
Sure. I would like to just mention one PSA here. The Clear Creek Democrats are hosting our fundraiser as we approach the midterm elections. Marching towards the midterms is what we're calling this fundraiser. It is on April 23rd at Chief Hossa Lodge. If you've not ever been in that beautiful historic building there at the top of Genesee, it's really going to be a fun venue. 5 to 7, Attorney General Phil Weiser will be our keynote speaker. This isn't really a campaign event. That'll come later in the summer for the Dems. But he will be talking about all of the work he's doing to really protect Colorado at this point in time, as well as the whole country. So you can go to the Clear Creek Dem webpage, clearcreekcoloradodemocraticparty.org, and from there you can make your donation and secure tickets for the fundraiser April 23rd. So thanks, Mark.
Okay. George, welcome to the show. It's been a few months since you've been on, we love to hear what's going on with you and in the county. And I just want to give you a chance to just generally speak to your thoughts on what's happening and where the county's headed. But then I want to ask you a little personal question about your activities. But let's start out with just in general, how are things going?
How are things going with the county?
Yeah.
You know, our challenges remain,
yeah.
And our ability to confront our challenges and
mm-hmm.
understand our challenges
yeah.
continues to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got a great team in place. I'm really, really enthusiastic about our new county manager and the folks that are on the team that have been on the team for a long time continue to do a great job. I'm feeling really good about the team that we have. I'm feeling really good about my colleagues and about the person who I think ought to replace me, which is Chris Gould. So at a high level, you know, the county, you don't solve challenges like the ones that the county has faced during my time in office overnight. But I think that we have made a lot of progress and we understand them better and we understand better the solution set that we need to look for to really secure a county government that can serve its people the way they deserve.
Mm-hmm. I know a couple of the major challenges that I will remind people is the loss of revenue from the Henderson mine and finding solutions to that problem, and associated with that in some way is the staffing issues with the county. So those are two of the areas that I was hoping you might speak to today.
Yeah, definitely. So we lost a third of our revenues over about a 10-year period
mm-hmm.
between 2016 and 2026. That is a huge deal. And at the same time, I mean, we suffered under what counties everywhere suffered under, which is extreme cost acceleration, a pandemic that required all of our focus and really, frankly, hurt the organization, caused a lot of turnover.
George, excuse me. Let me just say that having been on the air during all that and listening to you every week, the county commissioners every week, and Dr. Ryan trying to manage and all of your staff manage your way through that incredible upheaval to our society and here locally, it was an amazing thing that you guys pulled off. I want to congratulate you for that.
Hear, hear. Kudos.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think our team did really, really well. We erred on the side of safety, mm-hmm. and we did so under the philosophy that we could stay safe to stay open, and that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. When we did open the school district, we were one of the few school districts that didn't have to reclose.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one example. We did a better job getting money from the federal government into the hands of people and businesses so that businesses could keep their doors open and people could remain in their homes.
Right.
And it worked out really well. But it was a major hit to the county in terms of our ability to focus, because at the same time we saw this revenue loss, the forces of the world that influence us continued, right? And emerging issues around the price of housing, the availability of childcare, the price of everything else, that has accelerated. And as I look at where we sit today, we have managed to start to make investments in housing and childcare through lodging tax funds, thanks to the voters saying, actually, we think that investing in housing and childcare is a better investment, or we can take some of the marketing dollars and use them for that. And so I'm excited for that. We've got a scholarship program in place. It's entering its third year, a childcare scholarship program. Gratitude to you, Lori. You were a big part of insisting that we do something and helping, elected officials. We only get to do the things that are brought to the table for us in a lot of ways. And it takes a community. So we've got a multi-jurisdictional housing authority in place. They just hired a director. They've got a board that is starting to gain speed.
Any money?
Any money.
Do they have any money?
Well, what we have, and this is wild looking back to, and this is another thing that I think gives me a lot of optimism for the future, is the relationship among the local governments in Clear Creek County.
Mm-hmm.
It's the county government and it's the four municipalities and all the special district governments. In 2015, we tried, as a response to knowing that we were going to lose revenue from the mine, we tried to convene everybody to say, what's our economic development future? Our ability to get along was so emaciated over that time. And this is just what happens when you have easy money, is you don't have to build relationships. You don't have to know how to do conflict. We did conflict really poorly. We got a grant. We hired a consultant. We got along so fantastically poorly. We fired the consultant and basically promised to never try to work together again. It was a part of why I decided to run for office.
Yeah.
And fast forward to today, that housing authority, that is a multi-jurisdictional housing authority. It is a shared priority by five jurisdictions who are all investing. From Silver Plume, with a population of 150, to the county, we are sharing in that investment and that commitment, and we've all got people at the table, on that board, the staffs of various organizations. Jeanette Peel is works for Town of Empire. She's carrying weight over there, and we're trading roles, and the relationships are really, I think, far better. Not that we don't have conflict. We're just learning how to do conflict in a way that's productive.
Yeah. So, George, could you just maybe paint a picture for us of your vision for what this multi-jurisdictional housing authority will actually do?
Yes. There are two things that I think that we need a multi-jurisdictional housing authority to do for us. One is to influence the price of housing that's built, right? We have shown that we can build market rate housing. And we've shown that when we do build market rate housing, it doesn't meaningfully change what's going on in the labor market for the businesses that we need to survive here, let alone for the people who work here and are trying to figure that out. And Mark, I see you looking at me knowing, because some of those people, very well, and obviously we all do, right? These are members of our community. So housing is going to be built. And what the multi-jurisdictional housing authority can do is influence the price of what can be built. We can say, you know what, we want this to be affordable. Developer, you're interested in a property, we want this to be affordable, and we are a credible partner. We're going to help you get the grant money. Affordable housing, it basically amounts to getting a developer to take money from the government, from the state government, from the federal government, to promise a price that people can actually afford it, and like real people that actually work for their money.
Changes the priorities for them a little bit, does it not?
100%.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what we're building housing for, and this isn't the end of the world for us, but we end up building housing for folks that work down the hill. And that's okay. We got a lot of people in Clear Creek County that work down the hill, and they're not hurting us. But what we really need is a workforce that's close. We need young families that can afford to live here, to raise kids here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how we get back to a school district, and we're starting to see some progress here too, believe it or not. Back to a school district like the one I graduated out of. Mm-hmm. Between when I graduated in 2004 and today, same housing stock, same population in Clear Creek County, half the student body.
Amazing.
And that's the story right there. What we're seeing in the enrollment numbers with the school is we've got this surge in participation in preschool, and it's this light at the end of the tunnel, and I don't think it's a train this time. And that's because I think that's because the universal pre-K program is helping families get into our school system earlier. I want to say that it's because we're entering our third year of childcare scholarships, so that young families have a ray of hope to say, you know, I think I'm going to stay here. As soon as a family brings their kid, even if they live here, as soon as they bring their kid down the hill to a childcare center down the hill, that kid starts making friends down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a rest of that kid's development decision mm-hmm. about what school system they're going to be in.
Yeah, I think the research about that is very clear.
Yeah, you know, George, it's multifaceted, the reasons why we've got more young people. But it seems to me, just from watching Empire, where I live, and walking around town, that we skipped a generation. There was a time, I'm going to say 10 years ago, when my friends and I would walk a hike around town in the valley, and you'd never see children. There were no children in town. And we used to say to ourselves, we might be the end of Empire. It looks like there's no young people here. Now I see kids all over town. So I think there's some general generational aspect to this thing. And if you can facilitate that desire to move here for young families with adequate housing, I think that we could see a real renaissance here in town.
Absolutely. I mean, I was part of the last generation that had viable bicycle gangs driving around riding around in Idaho Springs, and they're out again, and it's great.
Yeah.
So the other thing that this housing authority can do and needs to do is impact the quality of the housing that exists today.
Yes.
There's a lot of housing that exists today that's pretty darn old. That if you're talking about mobile homes and trying to figure out how to get them replaced and get newer mobile homes in there, or redevelop some of those sites, or just some of these Victorians that, you know, over 100 years of a house existing, really starts to become a health liability in a lot of ways and start to become unlivable. We need to invest in improving the quality of the housing stock that exists today. And we can do that, too.
Hmm. George, I have to say that I have noticed the same exact thing in my town. And basically what's happened is the permanent housing structure, people have moved in and they have renovated and upgraded those. But the mobile homes that used to house families now house single individuals. People have, because they've aged and there are zoning problems for improving those living situations, families don't want to live there anymore the way they used to. Commonly, there were there were many, many families who lived in mobile homes when I first moved to Empire. Now there's almost none, and that's because of the quality of the housing stock. So I'm so glad to hear you say that.
100%. I mean, that's the other half of the puzzle, and it's easy to overlook, but it's in our public health improvement plan. Our public health improvement plan, the last version, says we have a housing problem, and it's got two facets. It's about price and it's about quality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So will this housing authority have anything to do with necessary rehabbing homes, the housing stock that's here? Because I think you were just talking about some of the poor housing stock. Some of it is redeemable, I would imagine.
I think so.
All of it is.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of remodeling. Yeah. It's basically what it is. So.
Yes, and there are resources out there. They don't come directly to Clear Creek County because of our population. We have to go and fight for them.
Mm-hmm.
What that means, just like how we need a competent partner to talk to developers about, you know, we want you to have an affordable price and we're going to help you get the money from the government to do that, same thing. We know you need improvements to your house and we're going to help you find the money from the state and federal government to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's what's been missing in this space, and it's what is starting to grow and really snowball inside the housing authority. Rebecca Lloyd is our commissioner. Rebecca Lloyd is our representative to the housing authority, and she gives us regular updates, and we're really excited about the progress they're making.
Nice. Yeah. George, maybe this is an unfair question to hit you cold with, but do you know how many mobile homes there are? I heard a number of 350 some years ago. And, you know, we have 7,500 people in all of the western half of Clear Creek County, and you have 350 of your housing units be mobile homes. It's a substantial number.
The way that I like to think about it, and when I was trying to wrap my head around this problem, Western Clear Creek County has one of the densest concentrations of mobile home parks in the state of Colorado.
I don't doubt that.
And so I don't know the sheer number off the top of my head, but that's the stat that I know mm-hmm. that is compelling to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've seen Clear Creek County, you know, I talk about things we weren't doing when we had the money, and I can't figure out why. Here's one of the things that we weren't doing, right? We were not serving the mobile home parks in unincorporated Clear Creek County. It feels to me like we had a de facto policy of we are going to neglect these things until they're unlivable. And then we get to have a conversation about the future. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the wrong approach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the county now believes that's the wrong approach. So one of the things that is left to do that I hope to be able to do this year, and if not, I have confidence we'll get done by the next board, is some zoning reform.
Mm-hmm.
We have this rule on the books. This is just one example of what we've just got to change this. And we've got a planning team that I think can get us to goal here. We have a rule on the books that says if you're going to replace a mobile home, it has to be the exact footprint of the one you're replacing.
Oh, I remember that.
And
when Mark and I were working on a project we worked on a few years ago.
Yeah. What that effectively means is that you can't replace it. And so, like, that is part of why
right. You
have mobile homes from the 60s that are still in use today.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to change that, and we can change that. And it's one of the things that is left to do. But yeah, as far as, you know, state of the county, we've figured out how to tiptoe into some investments that really can help us build a tax base
mm-hmm.
that can fund government services moving forward. This is another one of the conversations that we frankly haven't had to be good at mm-hmm. is figuring out how to build what we need to have a viable tax base and to have private services provide what they can.
Can you talk about any of those?
Yeah. I mean, of course, you asked that question because you're probably thinking that I'm talking about, like, pending land use applications in unincorporated Clear Creek. I'm actually talking about that conversation, one of the conversations that motivated me to run for office in the first place, which was our inability to get along well enough to even have productive conversations about our economic future. CCEDC, sorry, Clear Creek Economic Development Corporation launched the resilience team last year. The resilience team is all of those same groups that couldn't get along so fantastically in 2015. Mm-hmm. We're trying again. They grabbed all the different studies that we had been putting together and then putting on a shelf. They summarized all that information. We prioritized it. We spent all year last year prioritizing, like, what are our goals? We have 10 goals. That's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
And we're meeting quarterly. We're assigning tasks. We're starting to knock things out, right? And housing is on that list. The multi-jurisdictional housing authority was on that list.
Mm-hmm.
We got that done late last year. So what I'm referring to is understanding, you know, what are the conditions that make this the kind of place that a business can thrive in, that a business wants to come to. And it doesn't mean kowtowing to business interests. It really actually means what businesses need is the same thing that people want, right? They need a thriving community that can come to work. We all want to work. And that means that we need to not be sick. You know, that means that, like, we had to get a doctor here. You know, these are the kinds of, some people call this economic gardening. I call this just like helping communities thrive, right? Businesses thrive when communities thrive, when the members of communities thrive.
That's right. You know, George, Sandy and I raised our family running the Dairy King together. And the biggest obstacle to our success was childcare. No question about it. You know, we made brutal decisions regarding childcare, both economic and social decisions that were necessary if we wanted to stay living in Clear Creek County. And it's wrong. And I hope that we're on the path to resolving that.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Does that have anything to do with the fact that one of our few child care providers is Clear Creek Metro Rec District, where you were the director for a long time?
No, I can't take any credit for that.
Okay.
That was a wonderful addition to the recreation district after I was passed. Thank you for asking.
Well, we're excited because that little program, and it's been sitting there. They've not been sitting there. They've been serving families. And
yes.
I think they have like 10 or 12 seats.
Yeah.
That is the viable operator for a much larger facility that, once again, five jurisdictions are all in on helping get built and get open, which is going to fill more than half of the demand for childcare seats in Clear Creek County, right?
Wonderful.
And I'm talking about Mountain Trails. It's in the elementary school. And we're going to open that thing. It's going to get open next year.
Next year.
I believe that. I'm not making an announcement. I think we still have a capital gap. I'm telling you what I think we can get done. I think we can get that done.
Well, I hope so.
And that program is where the expertise lives to actually successfully run a center. It's going to be locally done by one of our local governments, mm-hmm. the Clear Creek Metropolitan Rec District.
I think that being a small community is it's underappreciated how, if you can focus your resources, it's easier to accomplish a goal in some sense because you can get the community on board in a way that's difficult to do in a larger community. And that's why, you know, we've always punched above our weight, because when we put our minds to something, we make it happen, and you can see that in different areas in the county. And I hope that this is the next one. Good for you.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
You know, and when we built the wellness center, that's what it took.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We got a really large donation from the Henderson Mine.
Mm-hmm.
We got our partners said this is our one big ask, because we have one big huge need right now, and we got it done. And I think we need to do something similar for Mountain Trails.
That's a hopeful note. Let's take a quick break, folks, and we'll be back within a minute.
Thank you.
All right. We took a quick break here at What's Upstream. And by the way, we are KYGT LPFM 102.7, 103.9 on your FM dial. And you can stream us anytime, 24/7 worldwide over clearcreekradio.com. I listened in while I was in Italy for 6 weeks. It was wonderful. It's a way to stay connected to home. All right, we're here. I'm Mark Cuccinella, and my co-host is Lori Beckel. We're here with Commissioner George Marlin. And Lori, do you have something you want to say here before we get started?
Well, I just want to remind people that the Acoustic Jam Night is happening this coming Friday, the 10th of April, at Westbound and Down. This looks like it is probably a great amount of fun, 5 to 8 p.m., and just wanted to make mention of that happening this week. The other thing I wanted to mention, I don't have the flyer right here, but the next Dude Talk Dinners, I believe, is also coming up this next Monday over at the Club Hotel. I believe it starts at 6. Is that right?
6:30, I think it is.
6:30.
I've been through two of them. I think it was 6:30.
Yeah, the next. But these are, they have been featured now on Colorado Public Radio, and increasing numbers of men are finding this a great opportunity to get together with other men, have something to eat, and have conversation. So, George, did you find it? Oh.
No, I didn't find it.
You looked at me expectantly.
I gave up.
6:30, I believe, at Club Hotel. If I can find a flyer here and it's different than that, I'll let you know. But thanks, Mark.
Yeah, okay. I have one more. Speaking of music, we have this wonderful young DJ here at Clear Creek Radio. Her name is Val Heiderson, and she's a great formally trained musician herself. She's been on my Saturday morning show playing classical guitar, but she teaches guitar lessons, she can teach you, you can learn how to play, how to read music, how to write music, and how about this, how to perform. That's a skill in and of itself. And Vail can be reached at 303-907-8020. She's terrific. Give her a call. Just say hi. Find out what she has to offer. She's wonderful. All right.
So Dude Talk Dinners does start at 6.
Oh, it's 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
George, I'm going to invite you to be my guest this week.
Hey, thank you. I showed up for the first couple. My Monday nights have filled up on me, but
If you have a chance, I'd look forward to seeing you there. Okay, so we've been talking about what's positive happening in Clear Creek County, and I think you got one more for us. What is it?
Yeah, I think to kind of wrap up this conversation about how we're thinking differently about our economy and our role in designing an economy. Which is crucial, right? Because things are going to change. And if we don't have someone with a hand at the helm, the change happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about our evolving approach to tourism and managing and marketing for tourism. Something that Commissioner Randy Wheelock and I talked about for a long time was we seem to be marketing tourism with this theory that, and by we, I mean our tourism bureau, was marketing tourism under this theory that we needed to get more people into the woods, and we were just assuming that would mean more people into the businesses. And Randy and I long questioned that. We are finally now getting broad acknowledgement based in data about the fact that actually what's happening is so many of the people that are coming to recreate in the woods are not shopping in our communities. And I think community members have known this intuitively for a long time. And I think it's a big part of the frustration with how tourism conversations have happened, let's say, during my whole life here in Clear Creek. And what we're doing now is we're really trying to focus on how do we get the woods are their own magnet for people. right? The 14ers, Bierstadt, people know about that stuff. We don't have to market that stuff.
Right.
We need to get the people that are at Bierstadt into our businesses. And so we happen to have a county manager in Colton Roloff. I mentioned him once. This is the second time. He's an economist. He's a data scientist. He took a real deep dive on looking at how people move from recreation when they come recreate. What are they doing? And he brought hard data. Right, they're not shopping here, and so we're working to figure out where are people shopping when they leave recreational areas. How can we do two things? We need to do two things in response to this data to understand the strategy is about getting people out of the woods and into the shops, not just into the woods and then hope. One is we need to recalibrate our marketing efforts. And so we're developing a booklet that, again, all of the municipalities are there with us. They're at the table. The Tourism Bureau has a new director that's all in on this strategy. We are creating a booklet that talks about the trails that are real close to town and the amenities that are right inside of towns, all the towns, not just on town. And we're going to put this booklet at the trailheads. These trailheads are their own magnets. We need to get people from the trailheads into the shops. This is just one strategy, one marketing campaign. And I think that continuing to iterate on that approach can really start to help us experience the economic benefits of this visitation that we have. We have this visitation. The other big piece of this is working with our business community to make sure that they understand what this data says about the kinds of things that they can offer that people that are in our community today and are not shopping want. And really the role of a commissioner and a board of county commissioners and a mayor is to say, I see a problem. I think I see a solution. And now we need everybody to be on the same page. And we're starting to see success there. The Economic Development Corporation is developing information to give to businesses about here's the opportunity. The Tourism Bureau and the marketing entities that are run by the municipalities are saying, this is okay, we're aligning our marketing strategies. And when all this stuff comes together, I think we can start to see economic success there. So that's an example. And the use of data is something that, you know, I have just harped on my whole time in office, and not because of me, but because a lot of other people agree, we are starting to respond to facts and data, and we're starting to govern in this county based on what the facts say, what the reality is.
So important to make decisions based on data.
Yeah.
I wish you, the county, and all of us, deep success in that endeavor. We'll see how it goes. Thank you for that, George. I wanted to ask you to dive into the nuts and bolts a little bit. I know that staffing has been an issue over time, and I don't know, just by the seat, I don't have data to support this, but it seems like turnover has been a problem, maybe since COVID more so than before, or maybe it's just a different direction from the county. You can be the judge of that and assess that. But is the staffing of the county offices and departments at full staffing levels, or where do we stand with that?
Yeah, thank you. It's such a huge problem. I mean, between the great resignation is what we were calling this post-COVID turnover thing that everyone experienced. We also had a really hard time in our sheriff's office, right? As one of the consequences of the killing of Christian Glass, signing the largest settlement in the history of the state of Colorado and being all over the news for it, was a lot of turnover in the sheriff's office. But it wasn't only the sheriff's office. Last year, so what we did to respond to that was we raised wages. We did market studies to understand what we had to pay to keep people. We started surveying our staff about what they needed to feel good about their jobs, and doing our best to implement the results of those surveys. And we were able to, I think last year, we cut turnover in half.
Wow. That's great.
It's a big deal to have people stay that you hire and not just have this constant churn.
It's expensive to churn staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the sheriff's office about 6 months ago, I think the sheriff reported, you know, hey, look, like we're full. I'm calling the current sheriff, Ron Thornton, used to be a patrol sergeant.
Right.
And he knows the number, the radio numbers. And he said, hey, you know, I heard a radio number that we only ever hear when we're fully staffed in patrol. Right. And that was a big moment for him. And he was really, really excited to announce it. We've got more stability at the transfer station. We've had to rework a lot of our job descriptions and our approach to work. We did this thing because of our financial crisis where we reduced hours to 32 hours in lieu of raises because that was the less expensive option. I think we're getting some reasonable early results. Some positions had to be like pretty much immediately mid-year. We had to adjust them back up. We're like, wait, there's too much work. We can't get this done like this. But we also have some people that are saying, you know, I think I can get my work done in 32 hours, and I think I'm a little happier. Which, I mean, imagine that. So yes, I do think that I'm not going to try to paint a rosy picture that everything is fine in the county now by any means. We will always have challenges. But, you know, the board has done some meaningful stuff, you know, in the aftermath of having to switch county managers. We heard loud and clear from the leadership team. They wanted us to, as a board, embrace a really thoughtful dive into what's called psychological safety. Oh. Psychological safety is an approach to organizational management that makes sure that, you know, the best ideas come forward and people are comfortable saying, what's your line? Truth to power, right? Saying what they see to who needs to hear it. And we're engaging in that.
And are not intimidated.
Exactly.
Or punished for doing so.
So this board, I'm really proud of this board that we have right now because we're saying we care about these issues and we're gonna insist on doing better. We're gonna hold ourselves accountable too. We're directly involved in the process and we're just starting to see the results of that. But I do think this is how we build a culture, especially when you're as financially constrained as we are in Clear Creek County, culture matters. You can get about 50% of a person's effort by giving them a paycheck and a job description. The rest of that is based on how they feel at work. Are they connected to the mission? There's clearly a crucial mission that governments play in particular. And we can find the right mix. And I think we have the right people to find the right mix. I'm talking about the elected officials. I'm not just talking about the commissioners. I think we've got a group of elected officials that really care about their employees. And I think we've got a leadership team that wants to level up, is leveling up, and is already in a really good place.
George, I'm glad to hear the sheriff's department is fully staffed. That's wonderful news. I wonder about the rest of the county. You know, every position is important from, you know, your county manager down to any maybe part-time staff you might have. Everybody's just as important, the role that they play. But I know some of the key positions, department heads, that sort of thing, those leadership positions can set the direction and create a productive environment. I wonder if any of those are do you have any absences right now in those key department head positions?
Oh, yeah, actually we do. We are currently advertising for a finance director, and that continues to be a pretty hard position to fill.
Yeah, you've had some problems there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Carl Small did really well for Clear Creek for, I think, a few decades, and since then we've had a fair amount of turnover. It's hard to pay that position what it demands, and our financial situation is so difficult that I think people that really value job security, like that's a tough position to get into. And so we're going to find the right person. That's one example. We lost last year, another division director, Amy Saxton. We actually chose not to try to rehire that position. We chose to kind of fill out lower down in the organization, some roles. But the turnover, those turnover stats that were out of this world. I want to say it was around 40%. Mm-hmm. A lot of that was in the sheriff's office. And so the improvement there is really what's leading the numbers change countywide in turnover. Transfer station, I think we have a solid manager that people appear to like to work for. One of those positions that just constantly turned over was a seasonal one. We decided we had to turn it into a year-round position to keep it. And so I think things are getting better.
Let's see. We'll have a new county clerk this election, right?
As far as elected officials, yes. Yeah. We will have a new county commissioner. We will have a new county clerk. Mm-hmm. We will have a new treasurer.
New treasurer.
The incumbent, Donna G., is running unchallenged for assessor. Mm-hmm. Donna G. is a wonderful assessor.
She was trained up in that office, wasn't she?
She was trained up in that office, and she's kind of been all over the county, and she's great. And then we will have not a new sheriff, but it'll be his name will be the first time on the ballot. Ron Thornton mm-hmm. was appointed late last year. Mm-hmm. Elected officials consistently turn over. That's by design. But
some of these people, Brenda Corbett and others, have been there for 8 years or more, right? Yeah?
Yes. Brenda was there for 8 years by the end of the year, and she did a good job standing tall in an era where elections were really put into question, and she stood tall, and she said, we're doing this the right way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She did.
Carol Lee has been great. She's on her way out of office.
I'm so sorry to see her go.
These people are term limited.
No, those offices are not. Carol Lee is retiring.
Okay.
Carol Lee was the first elected official in Clear Creek County to really take our fiscal crisis seriously mm-hmm. and say, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm reducing staff. I see the writing on the wall. And she took on more of a workload herself, and she works her tail off, and really, really grateful to Carol Lee for everything that she's done for the community.
Yeah, and one of the people she's trained up is running for her, Keith Buick.
Keith Buick is running for her position. He appears to be a really good candidate.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, well, George, we're probably about two-thirds of the way through the show, and I think we need to at least address the question of tourism and the impacts and some of the planning going forward. I know that Guanella Pass has been an issue front of mind for a number of years, and I think you're developing. I think I've heard you're developing some plans for managing Guanella Pass and maybe I'm wrong, but anything that you've got going on in the way of that particular subject countywide.
With tourism and recreation management?
Yeah.
I mean, Guanella Pass, we have this interesting thing going on right now, which is that we think we can open it early. Mm-hmm. There's no snow in the high country.
Why not, right?
This is not a good thing.
No, that's right.
We think maybe the technical term for this is weather inducement, because we are going to try to open Guanella Pass early, and maybe then we'll get the snow we've been missing.
Oh, God.
And so it'll be a sporadic thing, and the final decision to go and open it hasn't been made, but they asked the board about it yesterday, and we said, if you think you can do it, go ahead.
Yeah.
But you're probably talking about the fall Guanella Pass. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what I think we need. I think we need a shuttle system similar to Quandary Peak during the leaf peeping season. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got local partners that can fill in the gap. I think something like the rec center, running buses up there and mm-hmm. showing people the leaves would be a great, great way. Mm-hmm. One of our big problems with tourism is it's the cars, right? Like we don't have parking, whether you're talking about Georgetown or Idaho Springs. So that is happening with Guanella Pass.
You've just kicked off a new campaign too, right? That I saw Megan Heiler sent something out about a new campaign related to tourism. And it basically is a tread lightly kind of campaign.
We are working on this transition from tourism marketing to tourism management, destination management.
That's
over destination marketing. Mm-hmm. And of course, right, if you're looking at Idaho Springs and kind of the central portion of the county, when the Argo opens, Idaho Springs will change. Forever.
Dramatically.
Yes. Yeah. For better and worse. Our businesses are going to have a whole lot more customers year round. Mm. We're going to have some short term, even medium term hiccups around parking and helping cyclists. The people that are going to use that are largely going to be, one of the things that we've learned is we call them tourists. Our county manager is trying to get us to think about them a little differently. A lot of these are not people flying in from out of state.
Day trippers
that know us, and mm-hmm. they can get to know us better, and they can get to understand how to respect us, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. and how to support us, and they can get to understand why it matters that they support us.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm a guy who spent decades in emergency response. I got to say that Argo's, you know, you're going to see impacts on the ambulance and fire department as well.
The first fall that it was open, 10% of our time on task, EMS's time on task, was right there in Virginia Canyon.
Boom. There you
so
go.
You are 100% right. And we're going to need help. And we'll get it. It's a great relationship with the city of Idaho Springs. Mm-hmm. They know that a viable EMS system matters, and we'll figure that one out. But, you know, in the long run, you know, these are the kinds of conversations we have to be good at, is what kind of growth is best for us? Because otherwise what we're talking about is reducing services or raising taxes. Mm-hmm. And we got to find the right balance. I think that the Argo is an example of an approach to tourism and recreation management that we need more of. Rather than broadcasting people out into the woods and hoping they come back, mm-hmm. why don't we just put them really, really close to town.
In a regulated spot.
Put a fence around it. Yeah. And the exits to the trails are right in front of the businesses.
Very similar to the ski areas.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. Well, what about the rafting? How does that kind of fits into that same concept, doesn't it? But I just don't feel that it's been as organized as it could have been over the years. Maybe it's getting better. Tell me about it. What's happening there?
Well, I mean, what's happening with the rafting industry this summer is we're all really worried about.
Yeah, there's not going to be one this year. But over time, it's going to be, I don't know. Their temporary housing, the temporary housing needs for that seasonal population is always going to be a problem, I suppose.
I think so, and I think we can find some solutions over time. Idaho Springs is finding places to allow for seasonal camping, and how to regulate it in a way that it's safe because they'll camp anyway, a lot of this is focused on Idaho Springs and in unincorporated Clear Creek. The county pretty dramatically raised our river access fees. This is an industry that needs investment. We need, you know, if it's easier for them to get into and out of the river, if they've got, you know, concrete instead of dirt at the put-ins and the takeouts,
right.
and viable parking, we can point to a success area, which is at the put in DLD, where we built enough parking and all of a sudden people stopped seeing all the traffic chaos. We need to do more of that, not less.
In a bathroom.
And we might as well, you know, we don't necessarily have to put horseshoe pits in all the parks where they use space, because that pushes them over into the spaces that we want to use.
Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that the fee structure has been addressed, because that was inadequate to even cover the county's cost to manage it. So hopefully that'll become a positive cash flow. And I know that you were working on some other ways to maybe monetize that activity for the county.
Yeah, I mean, so what we need in this county to really be able to provide services, the services people deserve, is we need new tax proposal authorities. we are so limited by the state of Colorado in the conversations voters can even have about how to fund the services they deserve. We've got, and the rafting industry provides a lot of customers to tax-paying businesses, and that's important to make that on the way in.
Right? That's right.
They're not freeloading, mm-hmm. right? But we also have to acknowledge that when you go get a burger downtown in Idaho Springs, you pay a 10% tax rate. When you buy a raft trip, you pay a 0% tax rate. And right now, our only options are to raise property taxes or sales taxes on the restaurants and property taxes on the rafting companies too. But the kinds of buildings they build have less value.
Right.
And so we really need to be able to have a conversation with the voters about a recreation services tax. And right now it's a conversation that is illegal for the voters to even have. And we need the legislature to fix that for us. Mm-hmm. That is one of a bunch of different approaches to sort of new tax proposal authorities that the county can have. But right now we can't even have those conversations.
I know you've had discussions with our elected representatives at the state level on this subject,
yes.
George. And what's your sense of progress or lack thereof?
Dylan Roberts and Leslie Smith support these concepts.
Mm-hmm.
It is really hard to get, I think, to get the legislature and the governor's office to support these. You've got to go up against Vail Mountain Resorts and a bunch of interests. And we are going to keep trying. I do think that we have sown the seeds and the soil is fertile. The state of Colorado, by the end of this session, will have cut $3 billion out of its budget over mm-hmm. the last 2 years. You've got a bunch of legislators that are really, really depressed about the ability of the state of Colorado to provide services. This is a moment for counties. This is a moment for counties to say, you know what? We're here to raise our hand. We're here to say we can do better. We need better options. Our voters will fund better services at the county level,
mm-hmm.
but we need better options. We can't keep asking them to come out of their pockets in terms of sales and property tax.
George, you mentioned Vail and Associates, and what would be their objection to changing the rules?
I mean, you know, if you are... Right now, if you are a private business, that's going to impact your ability to charge. Like you can, let's assume everyone's a profit maximizer, right? And they're mm-hmm. all going to charge the highest price they possibly can charge.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to get even a 1% sales tax rate on, let's say, a lift ticket at Vail Mountain, that's 1% margin that they don't get to keep for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
And we've got industries that need investment. We talked about the rafting industry. The rafting industry needs investment. The recreation services industry outside of the massive ski resorts need investment. A rec services tax does for that industry what the lodging tax did for the Colorado resort industry.
Yeah.
Right. And this is how I think this is how we design a policy that can pass, as we say, you know what? Yeah. We'll collect that tax and we'll invest some of that in that industry. We'll do modern put-ins. We'll, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just like the lodging tax, I think, is the model. A couple of other things that I think are I hope to at least find momentum on. First I want to talk about the regional childcare situation. We've got a big change rolling out. There's this organization called an Early Childhood Council. We've had the same one for 30 years. We made the shift last year we actually selected Jefferson County Public Health to be the 3-county Early Childhood Council. We've been underserved by the other one for a long, long time. And that change will be effective July 1. I'm really focused this year on making sure that we build that new organization in a way that really serves us and the whole region can be served better, mountain communities in particular. There's one innovation that came out of the last few years and my advocacy at as we created local coordinating organizations. We said, we need dedicated staff for the mountain area. You know, we've had enough. And we got dedicated staff for the mountain area. And this her name is Amber Troutman, and she's been the backbone of all this childcare work, the person that makes sure that day-to-day progress is being made. So we have all these advocates and all these volunteers and all of these under-resourced local organizations, but the backbone has been this regionally compensated employee that serves us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make sure that that this new early childhood council is created in a way that we have a guarantee for that position, that we have guaranteed seats on that board, and that that organization doesn't run away from us the way the last one did. So I'm really excited about that.
George, I'm sorry. I've got one other subject that I think is pretty much on everyone's mind, and that's the drought that we're involved in. And I know that that most of the planning is being done through, let's say, the fire authorities' activities in coordination with other organizations. But based on what we can all see coming toward us, have the county commissioners had some discussions? Is there anything the county is planning to do in the way of enhancing our ability to address any fires or drought conditions?
On the short term, fire mitigation doesn't happen on the short term.
No, it
fire
doesn't.
Fire mitigation is
right.
The result of long-term investments and engagement. We're going to have to be prepared to knock it out of the park from a suppression perspective this summer. And I've got a lot of confidence in our fire department and in the Forest Service to do that. We've got a fire department that is great at what you call initial attack. They're really, really good at getting to a fire and getting it out.
Yeah.
And we know the Forest Service is taking this seriously. They've got resources here. They're prepared. There's a couple of things. One of them is, and this is on the Board of County Commissioners first and foremost, statute gives us the authority to declare fire bans. We are one of every other county has long delegated this to the sheriff. We're having conversations about how to delegate that better. We've got to be more proactive about fire bans. We're in a fire ban now.
Right.
We should have been in a fire ban all winter. We weren't. We're going to fix that. We're going to make sure that moving forward, we're more aggressive. And I think I know that's my goal, and I believe that's also the goal of my colleagues.
I was thinking also of disaster response. If the worst or some severe circumstance might arise, have there been discussions about enhanced disaster response?
We are working. We're picking, I think, is the second community that will really get a focus on emergency egress will be the Echo Hills neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to do a in-person evacuation pilot.
Drill.
Drill. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that is happening.
Nice.
We know where our emergency shelters are.
Yeah.
We know that we learned during this public safety power shutoff that we need to get generators there. We've applied for grants to do that. I don't think those generators will be in for this summer. Right now, I mean, my message to people, is we hope that everybody is asking themselves that question that Mark just asked of the county government.
Right.
This is the time. If you've got a bush right next to your house, get rid of it. If you haven't cleaned your gutters in 2 years, clean your gutters.
Mitigation really does come down to personal responsibility.
And have a go bag and the mindset that if it looks like there's an emergency developing, go.
Yeah, and it's a
go
big deal.
Now.
And you don't have to wait for the government to schedule a class. You can get online, you can get on YouTube, how to protect your home from wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yeah.
It's crucial, and people are stressed out. The mitigation is a long game, which means that it's never too early or too late to start.
Yeah.
And we've you live up York Gulch. Clear Creek Fire has been doing work up there. Evergreen Fire Rescue has been doing work in the neighborhoods over in the Evergreen side. It's not that nothing has been happening. We are prepared to accept slash at the transfer station. We put our 50% off discount back in effect because all the blown down trees, we just got to get the slash out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
We are, by the way, making sure that the beetles that may be brought there, we have beetle traps there to make sure that we're not perpetuating this
good.
Pine beetle.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, George,
we're going to have to have you back on because we got to what, Mark, about half the questions we had for George, so we get to have George on again soon.
Yeah. Any last comments? We've got to wrap it up here, George.
Just lastly, one of the last things that I think is really, really important is we need the metro area to understand that we can't take care of their water for them. And this is a seed that I'm planting. It's called a forest improvement district. We need them to invest up here. And we can talk more about that later, but this is, I've been talking about this for 8 years, and we've got a shot to really have some real conversations this year.
Fabulous.
George, thank you so much for your very valuable time. We deeply appreciate you coming on the air, and we'll have you back hopefully in the next few months, and we'll catch up some more, okay?
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you. History Women next Wednesday are on with us, Mark.
Excellent. I can't wait. I love listening to the women talk about the history of Clear Creek County. Someday we'll all be in that history.
Okay. Talking about us.
Bye, folks.
There's so much to talk about. We should have talked about wildfire mitigation.
Thanks for that, Ben. My body back to